Hey, how are you, Don?
Yeah, really good. Rob, how you been, man?
Excellent, excellent. So I wanted to talk to you, I guess, real quick about, what makes a good producer? There are certain producers that you hear about all the time, guys like Rick Rubin, somebody like yourself. What makes somebody a great producer?
Yeah, well, that's a very, it's a really good question. and I don't know if there's any one specific answer, because I think every one of us goes about the job in a different way. But it, ultimately, it's the result. I think, at least in the style of records I make, I think it's about understanding what the artist's vision is and then helping them to realize that vision by whatever means necessary.
Yeah, you've worked with, so many legendary artists. Do you have any of, like, what do you have any projects of yours that over the years that are your favorites?
Certainly, this album of Greg Allman's is definitely one of my favorites. I'll put that right up there with the records I made with Bonnie Raitt, and records I made with the Rolling Stones, records I made with Kris Kristofferson. There's a Willie Nelson album called Across the Borderline that really is, very close to my heart. I like the Born and Raised record I did with John Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
They're all different, you know.
Right.
It's also, you know how they say that music is the soundtrack of your life, and that's for everybody. So whatever was playing on the radio, and you know, when you were in high school and parked at the lake with your girl, man, that those songs stay with you forever. Well, the records I'm making, when I'm in the studio, we're kind of living the records. So the records I've made have become the soundtrack to my life, which is a kind of weird thing.
Right, yeah.
So some of the ones that are my favorites just has to do with what I was going through in my life at that time.
Right, so Greg Allman's album, Southern Blood, is out on Friday. Had you worked with Greg before?
I've played live with him a number of times, and we were friends. But no, I hadn't recorded with him before. I always wanted to make a record with it. I called his manager, Michael Lehman, about 15 years ago and begged for the opportunity, which I think is kind of unsavory for record producers to go out hustling up work. I've only done it twice, made a call.
Do you mind me asking who the other one was?
The other one was Neil Diamond.
Oh, wow. All right.
Making a bunch of records.
There's an interesting story about how you found out you were going to be producing this album, or at least that's what I heard.
So I'd called Michael Lehman 15 years ago and asked if we could make a record together, and it didn't work out with Greg at that particular time, but I think Greg always knew that I was interested. And we did a show that was like a big kind of tribute to Greg maybe 3-4 years ago in Atlanta, Georgia. It's called All My Friends, and Greg was on the show, but it was a lot of other artists singing Greg's songs. And he was doing some interviews to promote the show, and I was reading them, you know, in the week leading up to the show. And in one of them, he said, yes, my next album is going to be called Southern Blood. I'm going to record it in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and Don Was is going to produce. we'd never discussed it. So I saw him a few days later at the show, and he said, I hope that's cool with you.
That is a very Greg Allman-like story.
So Greg.
Yeah, yeah. I had a chance to talk to him just before his last show in Indianapolis. I believe it was last summer. And he was talking about Southern Blood and recording it in Muscle Shoals. What was that experience like? I know he wanted to do it all analog, he told me. And he said the toughest part was finding tape.
It's true. That's really true. Finding tape is not like it used to be, yeah.
Yeah. What was that experience like working with Greg there in those famous studios and all that?
Well, it's really, it's hallowed ground for music fans. When I pulled my car up there for the first time, I got all choked up. I wasn't expecting that. It's a kind of mundane cinder block place with, you know, next to a pizza place and a CVS drugstore. You know, it just looks like any intersection in America. But when you get close to that building and you realize what's going on in there, and then of course you walk inside and it looks exactly the same as it did, in the 60s and the 70s, and all the pictures are up on the wall. You can see who was standing on the spot there, and so there's a powerful patina to the walls. You know, there's definitely some mojo that lives in the place, and there's a sound to the room that you get when you record. ubiquitous in that room. That's where he got his start as a session musician, playing with Aretha Franklin and Wilson Pickett. And also in the back room, where there's a second studio in the back, and Rick Hall had given Duane the space to start the seminal rehearsals for what became the Allman Brothers Band. So I think that's more than anything else, the presence of Duane's spirit is what really prompted Greg to want to record there.
When you went in to record it, was everyone aware that it was going to be his last album? I mean, was Greg aware of that?
Yes, yeah, he was aware of it, and I was aware of it. I'm not sure if all the musicians were. Everyone knew he wasn't in the best of health.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wouldn't have known except that I overheard a conversation I wasn't supposed to overhear.
Yeah.
And so I knew, and we didn't really discuss it. The way we discussed it was in the choice of the material, because it became clear pretty much from the beginning that he was looking to say goodbye and to tie up the loose ends of his life for his fans and also for himself, I think. Make some sense out of his life. So as we spent about a year and a half really choosing songs, and just by seeing the ones that he responded to and the ones that he didn't want to do, it was clear that this was not just an album of covers. Every song that's there is there for a reason, and it tells you a little something about Greg's life.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a little bit about how you guys went about choosing the songs. Were these songs that you brought to Greg, or did he bring a bunch of songs to you, or did you guys just, did everybody just sort of bring songs to the table?
Yeah, it was about 50-50. The first time we talked about it, he definitely wanted to cut Jackson Browne's song, Song for Adam, which reminded him a whole lot of his brother Duane. He definitely wanted to cut Once I Was, the Tim Buckley song. I think he felt a deep connection to Tim Buckley, and they, right before Tim passed away, they had exchanged some correspondence, and they were planning on doing some recording together. Never happened, but Greg loved that song. And of course, when you put it in the context of Greg singing it at the end of his life, it's a very emotional piece.
Right. When you've worked with so many legendary artists, what are they like in the studio? Is there one quality that they all seem to bring to the studio, even, as different as they may be musically or even in their personalities? Is there something that all of them bring to the studio?
I would say the thing that the great artists bring to the studio they're real professional. they're really good. Everybody I've worked with that you would call legendary comes in, and they're on a mission to achieve something artistically, and they've got some experience as to how to get there, and they're very serious about it. It's a lot of fun. Like with Greg's album, we had a really good time making that record. It was, even though there was a dark overtone to what was happening in his life, he was actually achieving something on tape that he'd been a sound that he'd been trying to get for decades and never quite achieved. So he was absolutely buoyant during the sessions. He was really upbeat, and we had a lot of fun. But he was on a mission to get this thing